want to wish you all a happy new year. And you might be thinking that's a little late for that, but in the Chinese calendar, in the lunar calendar, it is happy new year. So in Mandarin, we would say, Qin Yan Kuai Le, right? Exactly. Let's say it all together. One, two, three. Qin Yan Kuai Le. And maybe you're more familiar with the Cantonese, which would be Gong Hei Fat Choi. Can you say that together? Gong Hei Fat Choi. Wonderful. In 2 days, many of us will be celebrating the Year of the Pig. We will all get to do this on Saturday together, so I hope that we'll all come. We're all welcome to come, and it's just a wonderful chance. In fact, I've understood us to be one of the only churches that celebrate Lunar New Year. And so please do come and share in that celebration. This celebration is a time to recognize the approaching spring season. Yes, although we're forecast for snow this week, spring is coming. And we know this because there's a lot more sun than there is darkness, isn't there? Gradually. Some of us notice that. I'm one of those who love it when we're blinded by that sun coming through those southern windows. Well, the spring festival was originally a ceremonial day to pray to the gods for a good planting and harvest season. As an agrarian society, a farming society, the harvest meant everything. We understand what Thanksgiving is, and this was their time to do that. And the most important part of Chinese New Year celebration, Thanksgiving, is the family reunion. Everyone should come back home for the New Year's Eve dinner. It was a time of sharing, and everyone sharing in the Thanksgiving. And so, since in modern China, most elderly parents live in rural villages while their children work in cities, a massive human migration happens. In fact, the spring festival causes the largest human migration in the world. In the past, the earliest that one can buy a train ticket is around 60 days prior to the event. Is that still true to today? About 2 months? You need about 2 months before when you book the tickets. It can lead to a mad rush of literally fighting for those tickets. In the past, statistics showed that around, get this, 1,000 tickets were sold each second. And you thought it was hard to get into a certain concert if Pink Floyd was coming in, or the Beatles, or Paul McCartney, you know. 1,000 tickets were sold each second, and that's without Ticketmaster. Now here's a few weird and fun facts for us regarding the Lunar New Year. Showering isn't allowed on New Year's Day. Sweeping and throwing out garbage isn't allowed before New Year's Day. This is to make sure you don't wash away the good luck or the blessings. Haircutting, well, that's not a concern for me. Or before February 2nd, that is before the New Year's Day. Or using scissors, knives, or other sharp implements, such as knives and other tools, because you don't want to cut the good luck away. Saying unlucky words is also a bad thing, such as death or sickness, among other things. Many Chinese people take these things very seriously, and even in my household that I grew up in, although we were Christ followers, there were certain hang-ons to these cultural things that we would do. Like my mom would decorate the house in red. And you know, those are things that I love. And a whole host of other rules and superstitions that many people would follow to a T. As Christ followers, we take reading of the Word quite seriously. We want to learn from Jesus, and we want to follow his example as we've been sharing and as Al was praying. And so our series, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, is a series focusing us on discipleship, following Jesus. And this takes intentionality. I use that word more often now. In other words, it takes daily practice. We have to practice this every day, the same way as in Chinese New Year or in other festivities that we observe, that we do these things regularly in a rhythm. Psalm 128 is what we would call a wisdom psalm. It is a psalm that imparts wisdom to the reader through short phrases and vivid imagery. You might have recalled that through the reading. The wisdom passages in the Bible present wisdom to us rather than absolute promises. Psalm 128 is a psalm about the blessings that God gives to those who fear the Lord. And so let's talk about that a little bit. I think it's fair to say that most everyone wants to be happy. Now, few people are willing to follow God's way to get there. And the greatest joys in life come from knowing God and living under His blessing. And that, in a nutshell, is what Psalm 128 is trying to talk about. If you haven't yet opened your Bibles to today's passage, I want to invite you to do so. Psalm 128 breaks into two main parts. The first four verses, the first part is a statement of blessing. The second part, verses 5 and 6, is actually a prayer of blessing. The psalmist begins by stating the theme of the psalm: blessed are those who fear the Lord. Now, during Chinese New Year celebrations, people light off fireworks, as we do during New Year's and Halloween. It's not just for the fun of it, but during Chinese New Year celebrations, we light off fireworks because it's to scare away bad luck and evil spirits. That's the etymology. That's the beginning, the reason why it's been done. And one can wear red or decorate in red because that color also wards off evil spirits or bad luck. People are scared of losing out on their good luck, and that's why we don't use those sharp implements and scissors and sharp tools. We're fearful of experiencing bad luck or being targeted by evil spirits. When one thinks about it, many of the aspects of Chinese New Year are originally driven by fear, and over the many millennia, we've kind of lost out on that meaning, and we just do it because it's what's been done. That's what reminds you of this celebration. So to fear the Lord does not mean to be afraid of God in that same way, so that we run away from Him. It doesn't mean to appease an angry deity who is ready to smite us. Rather, it means to be in reverential awe. Like, wow, we've lost the meaning of that word, awe, or awesome, because it becomes so colloquial. But fear of God means to be in such reverential awe of God's majesty that we approach Him with great respect. It means that we take God seriously. It means that we put Him in our lives first. After stating the theme, the psalmist then further defines it. Those who are in reverential awe of the Lord are those who walk in God's ways. In other words, a right attitude towards God leads to right actions in our lives, or at least that's what we're hoping as we practice these things. Jesus said in John 14:21, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them is the one who actually loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." The psalmist is trying to say, if we put God at the center of our lives and make His values the determining factor of our lives, then God will take care of everything else. We will be blessed by God in all that we do, and everything else in between will work out. Now, the word blessed can be translated as happy, and some translations have that. Happy are those who fear the Lord. In fact, in the original Hebrew, the word is in the plural, and so we could even translate it as happy, happy are those who fear the Lord. In Mandarin or in Cantonese, one would say double happiness. And you know what double happiness signifies, right? We use that symbol, that calligraphy, to symbolize something wonderful, like a wedding. Double happiness, double fortune, many blessings. What the psalmist is trying to convey is that true happiness or real happiness, double happiness in life is found not only in family or in riches, nor in health or longevity, although those are great blessings. True happiness, reverential awe of the Lord, that is where it's found. And faithfulness to His ways. And that's where we're going to reap this double happiness. Now, the illustration used here in verse 3 by the psalmist is shaped by Hebrew culture, obviously, where, like in many other cultures, the signs of happiness were a wife or a spouse who had many children. So a fruitful wife, and children who gathered and grew around the table, a fruitful vine and olive shoots. Those are images that are invoked by this passage. And the meaning does still have meaning for us. Blessing has in it the power to increase, to multiply, as our mission agency is now called itself, to multiply. Blessing works by sharing and taking delight in life. Too much of the world's happiness depends on taking from one to satisfy the other. Me first. What's yours is mine. And blessing works by sharing this multiplied gift of grace from God. Christian blessing is a realizing that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And as we learn to give and to share, and our vitality increases, we feel better, actually, and that has a ripple effect on those around us. And the people around us become fruitful vines and olive shoots at the tables. And maybe that's because the ground that we walk on, in other words, the metaphor is the life that we live becomes more fertile. It sure feels good to help out. And you might have noticed this odd sign, lost and found. It's not a prop for this morning. It's actually a leftover from Thursday. We meet here as AA. I am not someone who struggles with alcohol, but I come from now and again to support the people who come here and meet on Thursday nights. And they are so gratified and thankful that we are sharing the best room in the house with them. And so they are committed to treating this place with honor and respect and dignity. And they are so thankful that we have loved them in this fashion to just make space for them. And their group is growing. Please pray for them. They struggle on a daily basis, and yet they would be ones to say that they are blessed because they have found a place to belong and find support and accountability. Sounds kind of like church, isn't it? Lost and found, what a moniker. Where's that found from? They find themselves struggling with this lifelong illness that forces them, compels them to fill their body with poison at times. And yet they would say that they would be called blessed. They experience this double happiness, this joy, this something that comes from without, and something that God has gifted them from within, that you can't just say, oh, it makes us happy, because they don't come with big smiles on their faces, not all the time. They come with deep struggle, as do we. And yet, there is a blessing in this. So I just wanted to extend to us all, actually, a word of thanks and a blessing from them as we've connected and met. They want to thank you again for this wonderful privilege of meeting here. So it sure feels good to help out, doesn't it? It feels even better when we lend a hand with no expectation for reciprocity. You know, we take our neighbor's garbage or recycling bins in or out, and those kinds of actions make us feel good. Or we shovel the snow, and I hope some of us are getting ready to do that within this next week. Feels odd, though, saying that we're about to experience our first snow of the season. When I just came from Winnipeg, when we landed, it was like minus 39, and I'm so glad I brought my long underwear. I had like 5 layers on, and I was teased at the board table. They're like, you're wearing long underwear in here? I'm like, yeah, you guys still use air conditioning in this huge office in the middle of winter. But I had my alpaca socks on, I had my winter gloves, my ski jacket, and you know, I still felt a chill in there. I did have some fun gloating, though. Don't get me wrong. I was saying, yeah, we're expecting our first snow of the season and this week. And they just kind of went, oh, my goodness. I hope you get it bad. So, yeah, it's good. It was fun. Shoveling snow and raking leaves are small acts, really. They're significant. They require a little bit of effort, to be sure. But they are small acts of kindness, and I want to encourage us to do these random acts of kindness, because as we do these things ripple, and they cause bamboo shoots to and olive shoots. I just said bamboo. I meant olive shoots to come out of the ground. That's my Chinese-ness coming out. And these vines to just multiply. The sentiment is not forgotten. But what about those times when we really give of ourselves? Our time, our resources, our energy, ourselves, meaning we become vulnerable with our neighbors. That's a scary proposition, isn't it? Because it's easy to get our feelings hurt and to be offended, actually, when we put ourselves out there, or put our guts on the table, that's a colloquial expression to say, hey, here I am, all of me, really. And that's when we've really felt like we've contributed something. And so the risk is it might not be recognized. The risk is it might actually be abused, disregarded, and treated ill. But that's because we were made to share life with one another. We're social creatures, and we need community. And so I appreciate the prayers that we heard this morning. I can sense in some ways the desperation, the agony, the pain, but also the hope that's inherent within that. And so it's a wonderful thing that we can share these prayers, which are very vulnerable prayers, among us, knowing that there is one who hears and one who responds and ministers to us and through us. Let's move on. Verse 4 talks about fearing the Lord again, and it's not to scare us, but to bring us to an awesome attention before the overwhelming grandeur of God, so that we really see him as he is and listen to him as he speaks his merciful, life-changing words of forgiveness. We sometimes take that for granted because it's like, as I was flying in an airplane over, 40,000 feet over the Rocky Mountains, oh, look, there's the Rockies. Look at those little ice fields. And that's our sometimes view of God. From such a distance, they look beautiful, don't get me wrong. They look majestic from on high, but they're so far away. And when we remember that God is present, living within us, he is the creator and maker of all things that we understand and see, it's kind of like being then parachuted onto that mountain. And when Charlene and I, Mondays, we oftentimes, that's the day I take as a Sabbath, we oftentimes go into the mountains, Seymour or into Cyprus, and we hike, and or grouse even, and take our snowshoes now in this season. And boy, we get perspective of how big those mountains are. And they are sure gorgeous from here, right? From Kerr Street, you look up and go, oh, gorgeous. But when you're on that mountain, you go, wow, this is imposing. I have a new respect for the North Shore emergency rescue people, because that snow can be quite daunting. And you get an appreciation for the amount of people power that it takes to rescue somebody, and machinery and technology that goes into that these days when someone gets lost. That kind of grandeur is what we're supposed to have and regard for God, and we forget. We continue to put him into this little box that's manageable on a Sunday morning, or manageable because Sunday morning is coming up and we don't have to think about him until Sunday. But the reality is, he has a pervasive presence. He is there with us. And we need to remind ourselves constantly of this grandeur, this awesome power, who has the power to smite us with but a word, but he loves us. And he cares for us so much so that he knows how many hairs are on each of our heads. He knows our life story as it's being written out in the book of life. And we need to remind ourselves that he speaks his merciful, life-changing words of forgiveness to us every day. And so the first part of the psalm is a statement of blessing for those who fear the Lord. The second part is a prayer of blessing for those who fear him. Look at verses 5 and 6 with me now. The first part of Psalm 128 presents God's blessing. But the second part reminds us that God's blessing is not automatic. If I obey, then nice things will happen. It's not as simple as an if-then clause. God's rewards are all gifts of his grace. And we receive things by asking for them in prayer. But sometimes his answers might be not yet, or no even. But here are some blessings that are talked about. May God bless you all the days of your life. There are three parts to this prayer of blessing. First of all, may God bless us for the entirety of our lives. God is the source of all blessing, and this prayer is a reminder that every blessing comes from Him. He is the source of this double happiness. Notice that the psalm prays for the Lord to bless us from Zion. What does that mean? Once again, Zion, Jerusalem, is the place where God dwells. That's where the temple is, and that's what symbolized His throne. It's the place where God meets with His people, where heaven and earth come in contact. Blessing in our lives come as we meet daily with the Lord in His presence, as we go to the temple. And as we've shared before, our bodies are the temple of God. And so Zion is the place where God dwells. And so we're blessed as we meet daily with the Lord in His presence. For God to bless us from Zion means that God's blessing extends to us wherever we go. This is fulfilled in through the Holy Spirit for the Jesus follower today. As Jesus said in John 14, I will ask the Father and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. That's God the Spirit. God the Father and God the Son are present with us through God the Spirit at all times, wherever we go. The prayer continues, may God bless you within the community of His people. And so first of all, may God bless us all the days of our lives. And then may God bless us within the community of His people. We see this in the second half of verse 5. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem. God is concerned for all of His people, not just individuals, as important as that is. We need to individually come to Him and confess and trust and believe and live and allow Him to transform us from the inside out. And so consequently, because God is concerned for all His people, we should be concerned for all of His people as well. The church, thank goodness, is bigger than you or I or this place. And God's blessing on the church worldwide is our blessing as well. This is a prayer for all of God's people. It's a prayer for the well-being of the body of Christ universal, the church. This is why our prayers need to go far beyond ourselves and beyond the reach of our four walls here. So I'm glad that we do pray that way. May God bless you with a long and fulfilling life. May God bless you all the days of your life. May God bless you within the community of His people worldwide. And may God bless you with a long and fulfilling life. The Bible says here, may you live to see your children's children. In verse 6. In the fifth commandment, God promised a long life and a good life for those who honor their mother and father, honor their parents, honor the people who raised you. Now, here in Psalm 128, the blessings of the fifth commandment are applied to all of those who fear the Lord. These prayers of blessing are for those who fear the Lord. They not only stretch outward to the community of God's people, but then onwards to future generations of people. Can you see the imagery of multiplication here, of growth? And these things are needing to be shared. Verse 6 is a prayer both for long life and the continuation of our families. And this is part of God's blessing or double happiness for those who fear Him. Some of us know the blessings and have grandchildren, some of us. Psalm 128 reminds us that they are God's blessing on our lives. So let's make sure that we tell others not just, I love my grandchildren and show them a picture on our phone, but also, and I thank God that He has blessed me with grandchildren. Can we practice, make that a regular practice? I thank God for giving me this blessing in my life, these grandchildren. I thank God that He has blessed me with the length of life to see and know my children's children. Friends, let us count our blessings and give credit to where credit is due, our Father in heaven. Maybe that might season our conversations as we have them with our neighbors. Let's move on. The latter half of verse 6, the psalm ends with a prayer for the peace of Israel. Verse 6, peace be upon Israel. So notice the progression from the individual in verses 1 to 2, to the family, verses 3 and 4, to the wider community, verses 5 and 6 in this psalm, if we have that up. Once again, we are to be concerned for all of God's people, not just for ourselves or for our own family members, even our immediate neighbors, but for the whole family of God and all of creation. It goes out in concentric circles and ripples. Psalm 128 is a beautiful psalm that speaks of God's blessing on all of those who fear the Lord and describes this blessing in terms of the ideal family. And this is where I'll wrap it, but we might be wondering this morning, that's great, Pastor Dave, but what if I don't have an ideal family? Well, you're not alone. Secondly, the psalm points beyond our broken families here to the beauty and perfection of God's family in glory. Our prayer this morning said, Lord, may you make a heaven come here on earth. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is Zion. This is where heaven meets earth. We're praying that heaven meets earth here in our lives, in the temple, wherever God is, wherever we are. And so this family is being lived out as we meet in church. Yes, it's not perfect, but our relationships go far deeper than biology, brothers and sisters. And you are my double happiness. You are my family. You are the blessing to Charlene and I. And I hope that we are, for one another, that same blessing. Psalm 128 teaches us that there is a direct relationship between our attitudes and our actions and God's double happiness in our lives. God's blessing is available to everyone. I appreciate that song, Chris, that you shared at the table. Powerful song, great words. We can choose to either welcome God's blessing in our lives, or we can actually choose to ignore it, or even chase it away. Psalm 128 teaches us that how we live our lives actually matters. There is a ripple effect that flows outward. The people around us become fruitful vines and olive or bamboo shoots at the table. Our attitudes and actions have an impact not only on our personal lives, on our vitality, our well-being, but also on our families, on our communities, into the future generations. Little eyes are watching us. They're learning as we treat one another with either love or not love. And so Psalm 128 teaches us that the influence of the godly person is great, that God's double happiness flows outward from the individual and forward. It is multiplied because it is meant to be shared. Friends, let's love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our minds, and all our soul. Let us also love our neighbors as ourselves. Not only will we experience a doubling of our happiness, but in living this way, we will regard our Maker with the reverential awe that He is so rightly deserving. Thanks be to God. Amen. As the worship team comes forward and leading us in our last song, let's pray. God, you are good. You are so good because you love us, because you gave yourself of us, to us, for us, and you continue to do so. So God, as a response to that love and that overture, give us lives that are pointed to you in ways that do the same, that are giving, not taking, and that share all that you have given to us with others. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.